Hebrews 11, verse number 30, the Bible says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now we see here, and I'll give you the title of my message, we see faith for success. Last week we looked at faith for survival, but this week I want us to see faith for success. But as with every area of faith, there are going to be enemies that we fight against, enemies that want to deter our faith, and I want us to see those so that once again we are well equipped and ready to do battle with our enemies. I want you to take your Bibles, if we will. Let's go back again. Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, of course, over the last several weeks, we have looked at several different avenues of faith that we can display our faith in God, and with each succession, we see also those that will, those enemies, the problems, the difficulties. And of course, that's the same with us here this morning. We look again at that verse in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And so we look at faith for success. Building a life of faith, it's going to require obedience to many of the principles in life that we studied here in Hebrews chapter number 11. Many of the outlets of faith that we have learned about, whether it be for survival as we saw last week, whether it be for surrender, whether it be for service, and you could go back and perhaps you could ask the sound men about the different messages. Perhaps most of them are out on the internet if you would like to listen to them as well. But we realize that there are a lot of areas of obedience that we need, that we must begin to display so that we can really appreciate, actually, so we can really begin to see faith working in our lives. The areas of obedience. We're going to need faith see that faith will lead us to security, as we looked at last week. We'll see that faith will increase our service, that faith will guide us while we're searching, that faith will help us when we're asked to sacrifice, and many, many more things, of course, that we have looked at. When we consider all of the blessings that we receive when we put our faith into action, we begin to see success. All of the blessings that when we begin to put our faith into practice, into action. We could rehearse and go through all of the different areas, whether those that we have mentioned, maybe one that might have stuck out particularly in your mind, an area of faith. Maybe it's an area that you had already been praying about, that maybe you had been struggling with, and you realize your faith should increase in that area. And the Lord might have used one of the messages to help bolster that faith, and I thank God for it. But we begin to see that if we begin to put into action what we have learned as far as faith is concerned, then we really see the blessings that come our way. It's as if the individual that decided he was going to join the gym January 1st, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to gain muscle or whatever it might be that you wanted to do, and you join the gym and you go and you walk around the gym and you look at all the weights and you realize, wow, they probably put a lot of money into these weights and everything is set up nice and they've got the treadmill spread set out there and they've got the bicycles and all of those things that can help you in your pursuit of a more fit body. But all you do is walk around, you look at it, and you like the last time I went to a gym, I worked out, I walked for about a mile, and then I wanted to find out where's the scale. Did I lose any weight yet? Did I lose any weight? As much as I'm huffing and puffing after walking a mile, something surely had to be gone. But you see, when we just learn about areas of faith, but if we don't practice them, you know that we're not going to see the blessing. Oh, so that we begin practicing them. In 1 John 5, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so we look here at this one particular verse, this small little verse, that just a few words tell us so much about success. Now, obviously, it is calling as all of these verses have. They have brought our attention back to the Old Testament. They have brought our thinking process to what God had done and the display of faith that was given, whether it was by Abraham and Isaac, whether it was by Moses, whether it was by all of the children of Israel, as we saw last week when they passed through the Red Sea, or if it were now here, those who were participating in marching around the walls of Jericho. And seeing the walls of Jericho come down. When the nation of Israel crossed the Jordan River. And we watched that last week. When they crossed the Jordan River and they made their way to the promised land. Their first conflict was at Jericho. This fortified city that they had encountered in Canaan. Jericho, a walled city. You go back in history about the city of Charleston. And Charleston as well was a walled city. Would have been probably difficult to have marched around it, because I would believe that on the Ashley River side, that it probably was at the boundary of the Ashley River. And of course, they have filled in much of that land on just beyond the old exchange. If you've ever taken one of the tours of downtown Charleston and you've gone down into the provost dungeon at the old exchange, and they'll show you a section of the old wall that fortified the area of downtown Charleston back in the 1600s, 1700s, that a portion of that wall made of the palmetto trees is still visible there, far below the surface level of the street level that we have now. But that walled city, you think about it, and you can go over and you can look at some of those maps that are made out of iron that are right there at the pier, and you see what the city looked like back in the 1600s, 1700s, and its progression, and of course what it looks like today, and it's not even a good representation of today. If you've ever been down there and you look at the one that shows today, why, it still shows the old Cooper River Bridge, those twin bridges. Doesn't show you the Ravenel Bridge that's there. There's always something that's moving forward. And so we look at Jericho and the children of Israel. They're wanting to move forward. They're on a journey. We looked at the journey last week, but they're on their journey still. And they come against a fortified city, the city of Jericho. They had just crossed the Jordan River, and now they meet this city, and I can imagine that all of them, probably even Joshua himself, is thinking, "Oh Lord, what are we doing here? What are the opportunities? What are the possibilities that we could get over that wall?" And of course, God's intent wasn't for them to go over the wall. God's intent wasn't them to go through the gate. God's intent was for them to go over the rubble of the wall. And we could read about it. I'll read to you a couple of verses back in Joshua chapter 6. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." So that walled city, they had closed the gates, not allowing anyone in the city to go out, and not allowing, of course, anyone to come in. The children of Israel, why, there were millions of them. They had all crossed the Red Sea, and now they've crossed the Jordan River. And you can imagine all of those the guards at the guard towers of the city of Jericho, and they look out and they see this dark spot as it heads coming from the Jordan River, and they can't make out exactly what it is, but it is large, moving, it's growing, and they finally realize, well, that's millions of individuals, millions of, and they maybe they've heard the stories of the parting of the Red Sea, maybe they've heard about what God has done for them already. And so they close the gates. The command's given, no one leaves, and certainly no one comes in. This is our land. But of course, God had promised it to the children of Israel. In the second verse of Joshua 6, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." And so we learn from this story that even the seemingly impossible becomes very possible when we have faith for success. The walls that couldn't come down came down.
and we sing songs about it. We teach it to our children in Sunday school and in junior church, and the walls came tumbling down, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua, and all the stories, and oh, they march, and we understand that for 6 days they were to march around it in silence, one time around on day number one, and day two, and three, and four, and five, and six, and then on the seventh day they were instructed to march around it seven times and then blow the trumpets, and the walls would come down. And boy, you can begin to see the faith. But Joshua, no cannons? Nope, no cannons. They haven't been invented yet. No swords? No swords. What about a trebuchet? Nope, nothing. A big ram? No, nothing. What are we going to do? We're going to march around it. What? God's going to give us success. God will give us victory by marching around the walls. Now remember, they had just come through the Red Sea, and they didn't think that God would do anything for them there. They come to the Jordan River, and I can imagine before the first priest put his foot in the water of the Jordan River, I can imagine all of those who were close enough to the shoreline to see what was happening, thinking to themselves, what are they doing? All these priests, they've got each of them have a big stone. They're going to wade out in the middle of that river. What are they going to do with it? And can you imagine that? As soon as that first priest takes and puts his foot down, man, that was dry ground. Man, that'd be a sight to behold. You know, poof, the dust kind of flies up. Wait, there was water there. And he takes another one, and the river begins to stop up. So they had watched what God could do. But I can imagine that still there was the skepticism. Will God do it again? Will he do it a third time? This isn't just water. This is a solid structure here. It's impenetrable. The gates are fortified. There's no way. This isn't just a bunch of water that kind of can be brushed to the side. Can the Lord do it again? Of course, there is great success. And godly success always has its foundation in faith. Now, we're not going to go through the story. Of course, you know that after that seventh time, on that seventh day, the walls fell down and they rushed in and they were able to take captive the entire city. But I want us to see this morning the enemies that we're going to face. The enemy, the first enemy that we see, and I'm sure you could pick this out very quickly, are the walls. The enemy of walls. The enemy of walls. Now remember, we're talking about our faith this morning. We're talking about the faith that God is using as an example for our lives. He didn't put anything in the Bible just so that he could say, oh, well, I need some filler. There's not enough verses in that chapter. So let me just throw in some stories, fill it up and give Paul something to do in his downtime. He could write another book. And so I'll just no, God didn't toss in any filler in Scripture. Amen. He gives us all of it so that we can learn from it, so that we can read it, we can meditate upon it. And we begin to think about the account here of the walls of Jericho, and we realize that the walls themselves are our first enemy that we encounter. Even as the children of Israel faced the walls of Jericho, we have many walls that impede our spiritual success. You see, God isn't asking us to take the city of Charleston in a military effort. God is not looking for us to now, having crossed an actual river, to take a fortified city. No, God is asking us to look at this and see the spiritual application of the true event that God said, I will use that event. You know that at the time, God is, the Bible is already written. And he's saying, listen, I want you to march around these walls seven times, once each day, and on the seventh, seven times around it that seventh day. He says, I'm going to use that because it's already written over here in Hebrews. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to bring it up again, and I'm going to use it to increase the faith of the children of God, of my children. So we see that even though they face the walls of Jericho, we have many walls that will impede, that will stop our spiritual success. Walls such as a relationship that isn't God honoring. Maybe there's a relationship. Maybe you say, I know Christ as my Savior. I'm born again. I have no question about that. But maybe you're in a relationship that you know isn't Christ honoring. It becomes a wall to you. It becomes a wall between you and the Holy Spirit. Because that relationship is so important to you. I couldn't give that up because I love, and the relationship is, but it's not God honoring. I'm not talking about a marriage that isn't God honoring. Don't dissolve a marriage because you made perhaps a decision to be unequally yoked. That's not the reason to dissolve a marriage. But perhaps it's a relationship that you're in, that you would say, I know that this is, and it doesn't have to be between a man and a woman. It might be between two good friends. We've been buddies all of our lives. But now you're saved. Now you're born again. And that buddy doesn't want to serve the Lord. Maybe that buddy isn't even saved. And that buddy is taking you down the wrong path. It's a relationship that is not God-honoring. Maybe that sweet girl that you grew up with, you two girls used to do everything together, and now the relationship, you know it's not a good relationship, and you know that it's not Christ-honoring, and there's a wall that separates between you and the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a spiritual decision that you're wrestling with. You haven't even made it yet. I'm not talking about a wall of a bad decision. I'm talking about a wall of a decision that you have yet to make, a spiritual decision. Now let me say this morning, that if you are here and you say, well, Pastor, you mentioned about heaven already and about hell. I don't know where I would go. Maybe you would have to be honest with yourself and say, I have no idea where I would spend eternity. You're in church this morning, and this particular church loves that old Bible. Amen? And that Bible tells me how that you can know for certain whether you'll go to heaven or whether you'll go to hell. We live in a world that it's a guessing game, but it's not how God designed it. God didn't ever design a guessing game. Oh, this morning, maybe the decision that you're wrestling with is one of faith for salvation. You're wrestling with that spiritual decision. You've heard the message that Jesus Christ died for your sin. You've heard the clear message that you will never be good enough to earn it. You'll never be good enough to deserve it. None of us have been. None of us ever will be. There is nothing in and of myself that is deserving. You might say, but wait, you're the pastor. I don't care whether I'm the pastor. I don't care whether I'm any part of the church. I don't deserve anything that God's given to me. So you say, well, I'm wrestling with this decision. I've been taught, maybe you've been taught all of your life, that if you just go to church and you're a good person, God's not going to turn you away. God's a loving God. Let me stop there. God is a loving God. Amen. But God is a just God. Amen. And His love is wrapped with His justice. And God's justice will prevail. So maybe you say, I've never even been saved. I've been trusting a religion. I've been a good person. But salvation doesn't come through either of those, nor through anything that we could ever come up with, conjure up, or describe for ourselves. It comes through Jesus Christ. For our willingness to say, I'm on my way to hell, and dear Lord, I'm going to humble myself before you, and I'm going to beg you for salvation. Lord, would you please? And the nice thing is, all we need to do is ask one time. All we need to do is ask one time. It's not like the beggar on the street that has to ask again and again and again and again before maybe someone would offer him a little bit of help. I'm the beggar on the street, and I look to God and I say, dear Lord God, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Oh, I need to be saved. Would you save me? And immediately He'll give me salvation. Happens one time in my life. That's all that needed to happen. That's all it needs for you as well. But we look at the spiritual decisions. Maybe you're wrestling with a spiritual decision now. Maybe the Lord has been dealing with your heart for quite some time. I remember those days when I was when the Lord was dealing with my heart as far as full-time ministry. And I argued with Him. I say, Lord, I've already graduated from college. I have a degree in programming. And Lord, I'm in a company that I can stay as long as I ever wanted. And Lord, I don't want to have to give that up. God kept dealing with me. Lord, but what's my mom going to say? What is she going to say if I surrender to the full-time service? All of these excuses, I remember wrestling with them. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're wrestling with a decision. It's a wall. It's a wall that you build up. Maybe it's resistance to honor the Lord in a particular area. Maybe you say, well, everyone knows me, and I look just right on the outside. But I've got an area that I'm just reluctant to give over to the Lord. I've got an area that, well, that's mine. That's for myself. I get in my car, and that's my area. I get back home, and that's my area. No one's going to take that area from me. It's that wall of resistance to honor the Lord in every area. Maybe it's a sinful stronghold that's defeating you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is it that gives the people of God the ability to see God perform miracles in their lives? I'll give you the answer. It's godly weapons used in faith. That verse again, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so perhaps it's a stronghold on your life. That one area that you're no longer, that you've never been willing to give up, and it's defeating you because it's a wall. It's a wall that the Holy Spirit cannot penetrate because God's never going to push His will over on yours. He gives you the will. He gives you the choice. It's not that God isn't powerful enough. It's not that God is not omnipotent enough. But God is not purposefully going to overrun your will with His will. He gives you the choice. Are you going to allow me to tear down that stronghold? God will do the pulling down, but not until we decide, Lord, I'll let you do it. It might be the area of music. It might be the area of fashion. It might be the area of entertainment. It might be the area of association and friendships. It might be the area of work. What is it that the Lord is going to have to break down that stronghold, that wall that stands between you and doing something for the Lord? You see, these strongholds, they come down easily through faith. They come down through faith. And they come down easily. Not a single one of those Jewish men had to pick up a hammer, a pick, an axe. Not a one of them. We're just going to march around it by faith. We're just going to march around it by faith. We're not going to say anything. Not today. Not today. Tomorrow? Nope. Not tomorrow. When do we get to say something? When the Lord tells us to say something. So this is just going to be a peaceful resistance. That's what God's told us to do. And you think that's going to work? And I can imagine Joshua saying, do I think that's going to work? I walked on the dry lake bed of the Red Sea. I walked across the Jordan River and my toes dug into the dry sand. Yeah, I think it's going to work. I've seen what God can do. For Him to bring down these walls, well, that's nothing to Him. Because if you remember, God already made everything that those walls were made out of. Amen. God made every single particle that those walls were made out of, and He knew how to bring it down. So it's by faith. You see, we're going to see the waters will part if we stand still and see the hand of God. We'll see that Goliath can fall by the stone of a youth if we will stand still and see the hand of God. We can see that a church can watch people come to know Christ as their Savior and grow to God's glory if we will watch the hand of God. We can see a rebellious individual come back to the Lord if we will watch the hand of God by faith. We'll watch and see a depraved society be affected by our godly testimony. If we'll do it by faith. A society can be greatly affected by the testimony of a born-again believer. But it's unfortunate that society looks at Christendom, and I use that with a very broad brush, and they don't see a whole lot of difference between themselves and Christendom. Oh, but if they see that there are people that are that believe that Bible, it will make an effect on their lives. Some, however, choose to allow their walls to dictate their own behavior. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." So even short walls are walls. And we must fight through faith so as not to hinder the Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, as I was writing this and thinking about short walls, I remember several years ago, in fact, it would have been just about 18 years ago, very close to the day, probably, I had gone down to a conference in Phoenix, Arizona, and I stayed in this hotel where the conference was for the computer world. And just outside of my hotel was a huge subdevelopment of gorgeous homes, and there was a kind of a high fence, and I couldn't see over that fence, and there was a little wall. It was probably only about 2.5 feet or something like that. And I thought, man, I want to look over that wall. And I stepped up on that wall, and as I pushed up, I heard something snap in my knee. It's like, ow, oh, I don't even remember if I got to look over, and my knee locked, and I couldn't open my knee. There was something, and I hobbled back in, and I wedged it in between. I finally got it to pop out. I guess it was this knee. Sorry, it was my left knee. And a little bitty wall, and it was only 2.5 feet tall. But it was enough to give me problems. The illustration is to stand in the truth that short walls, we say, well, it's not that big of a deal. And so often we convince ourselves that it's not that big of a deal. It's just a little wall. But the Lord's asking for all of our walls to be knocked down.
Amen.
The Lord's asking for all of our strongholds Amen. To be taken down. Never be upset, or never worry, never concern yourself the fact that someone is telling you that the Bible points out the walls in our lives for a reason. The Bible points out the walls in our lives so that they can be taken down. Now, certainly there are walls that are going to need to be built up. I understand that. But we're talking about the walls in our lives that will separate us from what God's wanting to do. The second enemy that I want us to see, first we saw the enemy of walls. The second is the enemy of repetition. The enemy of repetition. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The wall, or the enemy of repetition. You see, repetition can be looked at in two different ways. I've heard the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Oh, I've heard that definition. But there's also the definition that repetition is the key to learning. And I choose to side with that. Repetition, it's the key to learning. Now, it can be a wall in our lives. When it comes to biblical faith, I want to choose the second definition, the fact that it's the key to learning. You see, sometimes we need to repeat the lesson. We do it in school. First grade, we learn that 2 + 2 = 4. Second grade, we review that. We learn again that 2 + 2 = 4. And then we go on. And then we finally get to our times tables, and we learn all that. And the English grammar, we learn what a verb does. And then the second grade, we learn again what a verb does. And then third grade, we learn again what a verb does. And on and on. And then when you get to high school, Lord willing, you remember what a verb does. I know Dr. Treiber, when every time I go to the pastor's conference, he always talks to the pastors in different sessions. And one of the things that he stresses every time, he says, listen, in our Christian schools, in our churches, in our homeschool families, listen, when you get a child ready to go to college, send them with some knowledge. He always says the same thing. He said, these young people, they should know the 8 parts of speech of the English language. They should know them. Every time he says that, I sit there with my fingers, let's see, there's noun, there's a verb, there's an adjective. Do I know the 8 parts of speech? But you see, we repeat them over and over and over. Why? To learn them. Why? So that we can use them properly. So that we can use them properly. You may say, well, I don't remember exactly what an adverb does. And if you don't know exactly, then you may use it in the wrong way. I know it's kind of a silly example. But we learn lessons so that we can use them. And it's going to take faith to repeat something over and over and over. I preached a message here, it's been a few years back. I don't even remember what I titled it, but I know what works. I may not know everything. And I promise you this, I don't know everything about the Bible. But I know what works. I know that just being faithful to the house of God, it works. It works. It makes a difference in your life. I had a man ask me one time, he was talking about the fact that he needed counsel from his pastor. Didn't go to the church that I went to. Gave a testimony of salvation. I say it like that because it was a little weak, but he did give me a testimony of salvation. Told me the church that he went to. He doesn't go very often though. He said, I've got a counseling session with my pastor. I said, is that right? He goes, yeah. He says, don't you ever need counsel from your pastor? I said, oh man, yeah, all the time. He felt relieved. He said, really? I said, yeah, 3 times a week. He said, really? I said, yeah. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Amen.
And he said, oh, that's not what I'm talking about. And I said, I know, but that's what I'm talking about. I need counsel all the time. I need to be there. Why? Because I know it works. I know it works. Oh, we see repetition in our lives. Sometimes we need to repeat the lesson. Listen to Paul as he writes to the church of Philippi. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Watch now. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. To write the same thing. In other words, I know you've heard this before, but let me say it again. And he goes on and teaches another truth. Repetition, it can become an enemy if we allow it. It can become an enemy in our lives. I'll give you the account of Naaman. I'm not going to have you turn. I'm looking at the clock. 2 Kings, let me read to you some verses out of chapter 5. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Naaman was filled with leprosy. And there was a little Jewish girl in the camp. And she said, he could go and see the man of God that I know of, Elisha. Well, he would help him with his leprosy. And so the account was told, hey, listen, this little Jewish girl is talking about a man named Elisha. We've heard account of him before. Why don't you go see Elisha? So he says, great, I'll go. And so, man, he packs up everything and he goes to see unto the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. Naaman didn't even answer the door. Ding dong. Go see who's at the door. So the servant goes, yes, may I help you? Yeah, I'm here to see Naaman. What do you need? Elisha. I'm here to see Elisha. Mass, he's calling. Naaman. What do you need, Naaman? Well, I'm full of leprosy. Can you not see that? Yes, I can see that. Well, what do you need? Well, I need Elisha to do something about it. All right, just a moment. I'll be right back. Elisha, Naaman, he's a leper. He wants you to do something about it. Okay. All right. He tells you to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Boy, and the very next verse says, and Naaman was wroth. He was angry. He was mad. Why, I thought he would have come out here, said, oh, abracadabra, zocus, pocus, Kalamazoo, and bam, and hit me on the head, and I'd fall back and jump up, and I'd be healed. That's not what Naaman did. Naaman wouldn't even come out and talk to him. Said, I want you to go over there, one of the dirtiest rivers in the area, the Jordan. And I want you to dip 7 times in it. Oh, he was upset. He was, and so he said, oh, this goes over to the Jordan River. And I've given the illustration. I'm not going to do it this morning. I've pulled my socks, shoes and socks off and rolled up my pant leg. And I like Naaman and step out there in the Jordan River. And here he is. And he goes down one time and he comes up and he looks at his skin. He says, it's dirtier now than it was before. And he goes down the second time. And he says, nothing's happened. And he goes down the third time. And he goes down the fourth. And he goes down the fifth. And he goes down the sixth. And I can imagine after the sixth time, he said, I'm done. This is it. And he begins to walk out of the Jordan River. And one of his servants said, wait a minute, hold it now. Listen, if Elisha had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? All he's asked you to do is go seven times, dip in the water. Why don't you try that seventh time? And he dips down the seventh time. I can imagine he comes up and he goes, see, there it says, I'm clean. The enemy of repetition. Well, I went to church and it didn't do anything for me. How long did you go? Well, I went once. I gave in the offering plate. I didn't see a blessing from God. We could go on from there. I went out soul winning and I didn't see anybody saved. How many times did you go? Well, I went two or three times. Okay, how about we just continue to repeat? I've witnessed to my coworkers. How often did you bring it up? How many times have you witnessed them? How many times have you prayed for them? You see, we begin to realize that repetition, it's an enemy to what God wants us to do. It becomes an enemy in our lives. Often the Bible must hammer our sin more than once. Well, listen to Paul as he wrote to the Corinth, to the church of Corinth. He says, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other that if I come again, I will not spare. He's saying, listen, I'm writing the third time now to you. And I've told you before, hey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be making another trip there. And if I come and find you still in the same sin, I'm going to have a few words with you. That's what he was telling them. By way of the Holy Spirit. And praise God. Amen. You see, sometimes the Bible is a hammer in our lives. Never be upset for hearing the same Bible truth repeated. Let's have faith that the lessons will take root in our lives. And we'll watch the walls of Jericho come down. The third one I'm going to finish. The enemy of time. As we see here, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after that they were compassed about 7 days. The enemy of time. How long are you willing to wait for the Lord's timing? You see, we're so impatient. We want it now. We want it now. There's a comedian. He has a joke. He talks about Taco Bell. Man, I want it right now. He says, I was in the airport the other day and I see a Taco Bell Express. Your taco can't come out fast enough at a regular Taco Bell. We got to get it now on the run. Hey, it kind of makes a joke about it. But that's the life that we seem to lead. We want results and we want them right now. You see, if we had it our way, we would have already had it. You want me to wait 7 days? The giant of time, the enemy of time. First, there's the repetition. We're just going to do this over and over and over again. Can you imagine on day number 7, them getting up and they're thinking to themselves, we've already done this 6 times. We're going to do it 7 more today? And finally, on that 7th time, oh, I wonder when the walls began to creak. As they started that 7th lap around, I don't know how large the wall was, but I'd venture to say it was pretty good size. To trek 7 times around it. After 6, we're going to do one more. And they began marching. And oh, they're listening. There's something different about it this time. Oh, there's get a quarter, get to that first corner, and oh man, they begin maybe to see some of the cracks in the foundation, and they make it to the second corner, halfway done now, and they begin to see the cracks running all the way down. They get to the third corner, and they can feel the earth begin to quake, and maybe by the time the last one steps that last foot, and now everything just completely collapses down to the ground, and they easily walk in and take the entire city. Oh, the repetition is there, but the enemy of time. Why do we have to wait 7 days? If not for faith, I would have given up long ago. Amen. And so would you have. Amen. If not for faith, I would have given up long ago. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Oh, you remember that God, it was God who began time. In the beginning, He knows about time, and He knows how much time I have left to learn to give Him the glory that He deserves. I will give Him all the glory one day in heaven. I'll do nothing but give Him glory in heaven. I may as well begin now. In Philippians 2, verses 9, 10, and 11, it says, Wherefore, God hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, there will be a day that you will give glory to God. How about today? How about now? Will you truly, will you say, all right, Lord, I'll wait and I'll give you glory until then. It might be that you're saying, oh, I would to God that He would return even today. Oh, that He would return today. I've got so many difficulties and so many struggles and so many things. Oh, Lord, would You return today? But until then, I'll work till Jesus comes. Amen. You see, if we do not realize that it's going to take some time in our lives, then it becomes a real enemy to us. The faith that we have for success. Oh, I have all the... I believe that God is going to let us succeed. But we're going to see some walls that will stand in our way. We're going to have to see some repetition and be willing to endure it and be willing to wait the time that God wants to wait. Oh, I could list for you all the things that I was thinking that by 9 years, having been here 9 years, 9 years ago, I already had it all planned out. All right, well, by this year we'll have this, and by this year we'll have that, and by this we'll have this, and God has allowed some of it. But a lot of it I'm thinking, all right, Lord, when? Lord, I believe that we're ready for certain things, and we talk about them, we pray about them. But if we're not willing to wait on God's timetable, then it becomes a real enemy to our faith for success. Well, let's have that kind of faith. I hope in your life that you'll have that kind of faith. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You for the faith that You instill in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would see the enemies that would come our way that would deter us, Lord, from having faith for success. But dear God, I pray that You would help us to see that You can give us that victory. Lord, that we would just simply have faith in You. This morning, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, oh, I spoke so clearly about salvation. Maybe this morning you would say, Pastor Sears, I don't know if I would die right now. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. I have no idea. Oh, can I ask you, friend, please would you listen? Please would you listen? Maybe that's you. You say, I don't know where I would spend eternity. Would you allow someone to take a Bible? Oh, would you allow, here in just a moment, the piano will begin to play. Would you allow someone to take you to a side room and show you how you could be saved? Don't live another day. Why would you live another moment having that question mark on your life? Because it is for eternity. Heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. And it's not up to God. He has already done His part. This morning, maybe that's you. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't have any idea where I would go if I died right now. I don't have any idea, but I would desperately like to know. I need to know how I can go to heaven. Maybe that's you this morning. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Is that you today? I need to know. Perhaps this morning you'd say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I struggle with faith. Even that God can succeed in my life. Would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Pastor, would you pray for me? I struggle with faith for success. That God will truly give me success. Well, I thank the Lord for the hands. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray You would be with us this morning. Lord, we thank You for the faith that we can have. Dear God, I pray that we would see that it is truly successful when we place our faith in You. For we ask it in Jesus' name.